All right, today is September 9th, year 2007, and it's the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Today's sermon, we're going to talk about racism, the mortal sin of racism, and races in general, about how God created races, how races are traced back to, and how races find their origins and all that. Now, briefly speaking, we know our Lord says that love even your enemies, you know, as far as, because they're still human beings and they have souls that need to be saved. I always say there's a big difference between hating somebody and abhorring somebody. You can abhor somebody if they're evil, and you're supposed to abhor them. There's a big difference between abhorring people and hating people. Our Lord says in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that calumniate and persecute you. Because God wants all men to be saved. So we were all sinners that needed the grace of God, and we are all not in the good favors of God. So God forbids Catholics to hate anybody, any person, except for the devils and the damned humans in hell. Then you can hate them. There's no hope for them. But people on earth, you're not supposed to hate anybody, let alone any race. And we read about how God's will is that he should save all men. We read that in 1 Peter 2, 3-4, where it says, God our Savior, who wills for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We read that also in Wisdom 11:25-27, where we read, for thou lovest all things that are, and hatest none of the things which thou hast made. For thou didst not appoint or make anything hating it. And how could anything endure if thou wast not be preserved, if not called by thee? But thou spearest all because they are thine, O Lord, who lovest souls. So God loves souls. He wills for all men to be saved. In scripture verses, you will hear some verses where it says God hated Esau. What it means there is God abhorred Esau. Absolutely abhorred him. He didn't hate him in the strict sense of the word hatred. He means abhorred there. You'll read that occasionally. Even when he says hate your parents or hate your own self. In that case, that's a whole different interpretation. He means abhor your own life, sinfulness, and love God above all things. But my main point is, if we can get down this one concept to Catholics and even other people in the world that know what the Catholic Church teaches, why racism really is a mortal sin. And what I mean by racism is by hating people solely because of their race, just because they're Africans or they're Italians or they're Jews or whatever they are. You're not supposed to hate anybody because of his race, and you're not supposed to hate anybody, period, even if he's the most wicked person in the world, but you can't abhor them. Now, we're going to get into the idea that what makes, through the history of time, there have been races that have been predominantly evil, but it's not because of their race. It's because they're disobedient to God. That's what makes them predominantly evil. And that's going to come to light when we go back when we were talking about this about last week, and so now I'm going to bring it up, about how races are created in God's eyes. Every race can trace it back to a particular person that God determines had done something that is worth mentioning, something either greatly evil or something either greatly good. So races are generally created by the acts of a person who's done something very evil or has done something very good, or sometimes just something extraordinary. It might be not too good or not too evil, but it's something that a particular person did that's extraordinary. Even Esau, who God hated, which means abhorred, he abhorred Esau because Esau had no regard for the faith. He didn't care about his birthright, you know, and he just sold it for a bowl of pottage, you know. So it's like selling your soul for anything on earth, like for a bowl of pottage for lentils. That's what pottage is, lentils. You're so hungry you want to eat, so you say, give me that lentil soup and I'll sell my soul. That's what Esau did. So Esau now, here's another example, he formed the Edomites. And when you read in the Bible, the Edomites, that's the race of the Edomites. And so he was formed by rebellion. Now we know the Israelites were formed by obedience, starting with the obedience of Abraham, and then the obedience of Isaac, and then the obedience of Jacob. And the obedience of these three patriarchs, which was promised to Abraham's initial obedience to God, when he left the Ur of Chaldees and left his own family to worship the true God, and when you found the true God and worshipped him, God formed the Israelite races out of an act of obedience. So they were formed out of a good deed. And that's when he promises to those people, those races that are formed by obedience to God, that are actually formed because of good deeds of the patriarchs or the origins of those races, God generally blesses them generally, but you still have exceptions to the rule. We know with the Israelite race, because even the 10 sons coming right out of Jacob, it were very bad. But God still had mercy upon them. The 10 of the sons got out of the 12, out of his 12, were bad, and they rebelled and they sinned against Joseph and their father. But God was still merciful to them and turned his mercy for the sake of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because it says, I will bless your generation. Okay, the race of the Israelites was formed by Abraham's obedience to God when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he found the true God, worshipped and faithfully obeyed him. And then his son Isaac and his son Jacob faithfully remained faithful to the true God, and from there came the Israelite races, the 12 tribes. So those races, that race, the Israelites were, and especially the Israelite race, was really the only race that God ever chose to be his own special portion. But does that mean the whole Israelite race is good, or all Jews are good? No. And does it mean that all the Moabites and Ammonites were formed by an evil origin, does that mean they're all destined to be evil? No. It's just a general rule in which God says, I will...
But so Ruth was a Moabite, right?
Ruth was a Moabite. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ruth converted and left Moab, and she's in the line of Jesus. She married Obed, I think it was, right? Boaz. She married Boaz, who had Obed. You know, who had Jesse, and Jesse had David. So Ruth is found in the line of Jesus, you know. So Ruth finds herself as in the family of Jesus, and she was a Moabite. Now, my point on that is, when you read the scriptures, God says, I curse you down to seven generations, or I curse you down to, or bless you down to seven generations. That's a general rule. It doesn't mean everybody in that race. But there's other races that are so evil, God has extinguished them from the face of the earth. So God has destroyed races. Whole races in block. And that's because that race was so predominantly evil that God destroyed them. And not because of the race. We read about God destroying whole races in Wisdom's, the book of Wisdom 3:19. Dreadful are the ends of the wicked race. And Jeremiah 12:17. But if they will not hear, I will utterly pluck out and destroy the nation, saith the Lord. So, if you look in the history of mankind, God has destroyed, utterly destroyed entire races. But again, not because of their race, but because of their immense disobedience and paganism and idolatry. And so that's why God destroys people. Not because they're Africans, not because they're Italians, not because they're Jews, but because they're disobedient to God. And anybody in any race, if he obeyed God, he can get out of that evil lifestyle and go over to the true God. Proof of that was that God was even trying to convert people in the Old Covenant era into the one true religion of Judaism at that time, and he did do that. And Gentiles converted into Judaism, and that's how they saved their souls. If they stayed out in their pagan ways with their pagan races, they were damned. Now, my whole point is we're beginning to see how the genesis of all races are. And if all of us here really go back to the first race, which is, you can say, the Adamite race from Adam. We all came from Adam. And they always put the word I-T-E on the end of these things when races are formed. So you had the, we all come, all of us here today, living in the world today, trace ourselves back to one of the three sons of Noah. Sem, Ham, or Japheth. That's where all the races are today. We all come from those three tribes. Now, each person has several different races he can trace them back to if you keep going. For instance, let's take a Jew or an Ishmaelite. Now, from the Semites come the Ishmaelites, come Abraham, okay, which because then we have the Semites, and Abraham was a Semite, and then from Abraham came Ishmael and Isaac, and from Isaac came Jacob and the Israelites. So from, if we just take a look at Abraham alone, look at all the races that came off of Abraham, we're going to look that Abraham formed the, what they, strictly speaking, the Arab races are Ishmaelites. They're not really Egyptians. Egyptians are Madianites from the tribe of Ham, and we'll get into that later. No, Egyptians are not Madianites. Egyptians are from the tribe of Ham and Canaan, and we'll get into that later. Technically, people call the Egyptians, the Syrians, and all them Arabs, but they're not, strictly speaking, Arabs. Arabs are descendants of Ishmael, and they're Semites. Israelites, because they go back to Sem, and because Abraham was a Semite. So you have Arabs that are Semites, you have Israelites that are Semites. So this whole term of anti-Semitism, too, is really stupid. It's not even actually correct. What they should have said is anti-Israelite. That's what they really mean when the Jews are saying it, is they don't use that term. Because Semite, that means anybody who came from Sem. And we're just talking Abraham was one person who came from Sem. We don't even know all the other people that came from Sem. You can trace, I'm sure, a lot of them back. But when you're taking a look at Abraham, for instance, now, the Israelites would say, okay, I'm an Israelite, I'm an Abrahamite, I came from Abraham, I'm a Noahite, I came from Noah. And then all of us came from, all of us go back to Noah after the flood. So we all trace our line back to Noah. And before that, going from the, that before Noah, we go to Noah's father. And we're going to read it right here. The genealogy that God gives us in Luke 3:36-38, we're going to trace it. He goes, and this is tracing backwards, Jesus' genealogy. We're getting to Noah, and then we're going to the Ur before the flood. And it says, who was of Sem, who was of Noah, who was of Lamech, so we all, who was of Methuselah, who was of Enoch, who was of Jared, who was of Malaleel, who is of Canaan, not Canaan, but Canaan, Canaan, who is of Henos, who is of Seth, who is of Adam, who is of God. We all have that in common. Every human being living since the flood has that line all in common. So we're all Noahites, we're all Adamites, we're all Sethites, and we're all tracing those same patriarchs. We all have that in common. After the flood, and when Noah had, from Noah's three sons, that's where you see all the races being generated today. From three sons of Noah, and that's from Sem, Ham, and Japheth. And there's another heresy that the Christian identity heretic people throw around, and they believe that there was more people alive during the flood, and it wasn't just Noah, and that the current day Jews come from Cain, you know, Cain and Abel, and they call them Canaanites. But that's heresy. It's the Protestants are notorious for misinterpreting scriptures. They're absolutely the most illogical buffoons, and you got to be an idiot to be a Protestant. I'll say that 1,000 times. And you, if you're a Protestant, that means you're an idiot. If you're a Protestant, it means you are of totally bad will. The scriptures are against you. Logic is against you. Miracles are against you. Everything is against you. But this is the most stupid. They came up with this out of animosity to make the Jewish race worse than it is. So they said, you're from the children of Cain. And then you get the African people saying that the white people are the ice people, and the white people say the black people are the mud people. This is racism. This is an abomination. There's no need to be going to deify or demonize a whole race in such a manner. If most people are evil in a race, it's not because of their race. There is such things as African people that are savages, and many of them are. And why are many of the Africans, and have they always been savages, but not all of them? Because they rebelled against God. They're gross sins of idolatry and voodoo. Just look at the way they live. They're squalor. That's why. But they're not all that way. There's good Africans that converted and became Catholic. So if you try to denigrate the whole black race just because of the race, you're a racist. We'll have none of that in Mary's Little Remnant. We'll have none of that in the church. If you look at people and they're black, and you develop some type of an instinct just against them because of their race and their skin color, you don't belong in here. You're in damnation. I have nothing to do with you. Now, if you look at a black person and he's committing crimes and he's listening to boombox music and he's doing graffiti, he's an abomination. He's a savage. But why? Not because he's black. I'll say that about a white person. And we know, we say about white people, I call them white trash. I know them too. I used to work on the rise on Asbury Park, New Jersey. And when I was a pagan myself, and I know these pagans. I live right across from this place where Bruce Springsteen used to play his music. And they had a motorcycle gang called the Pagans. And they were white guys. And they were savages. We used to have fights all the time. These guys, even as bad as I was coming from the city, I couldn't stand these guys. They were what we called white trash. So every race, folks out there, has bad people. And it's not because of their race. It is not because of their race. It is because of the rebellion against God. And I am not condoning savagery that goes on in the city and looting and rioting. This is evil stuff. But God uses these evildoers to punish these high-tech heathens, which, if I have time to get into that, we're going to get into that later also. It's not just the, let's say, savage people that are living in squalor and these types of other types of sins. It's even people that are high-tech heathens. They're the worst. These Englishmen, these Jews that have prosperity, that these pseudo-intellects have discipline and order in the exterior things, but inside their heart they're as rotten and as evil as the savage. Even more evil, because they use their high-tech prosperity to go out and corrupt people in a high-tech way. So I call them high-tech heathens and low-tech heathens. They're both evil. So you're going to be looking at that black person, somebody's racist out there, and say, look how savage he is. And God looks at your heart and says, you're worse than them. Even though you have a nice home and you think you're doing... Look at the United States. Do you think we're not savages? A guy, they're living in nice homes, but they got pornography in their houses. They're listening to rock and roll. They're being unjust to people out in society by robbing, lying, cheating, stealing. Every time you turn the TV on, somebody, some politician is caught robbing, cheating, lying, stealing, fornicating, you know, drunkards, alcoholics. Oh, but we're supposed to be the high-tech people that are chosen because we have prosperity. No, false prosperity is another evil that God sends upon people, just like he does squalor upon the savages in the jungle. So what I'm saying here is several things to be aware of, that yes, certain races were blessed by God and even promised that they would continue to the end of the world, and there'll always be faithful people in that race, even though there's going to be great gaps of periods of times where most people in that race will be evil, and there's other races God has completely annihilated because they were very wicked. But it's because of their disobedience to God's commandments, one or more of his commandments, and generally when he extinguishes a whole race, that means these people were rotten to the core. But it still doesn't mean that there's not exceptions in every race, that God can choose out of those people, people worthy to be saved. And I say this to people all the time, that in the end, St. Paul says this in Romans chapter 11, you can read it. He says that in the end, we're going to all realize that every race is predominantly evil. Almost everybody. And I say this many times, if only 5 or 3% of the people in any race end up in heaven at the end of the world, that's good, that's optimistic. That means 97% of the people in every race that was from the beginning of the fall of Adam in the garden is damned to hell. So you ain't going to know right to be pumping up your race as a reason as to why you're superior. What makes us superior is not race, it's faith and obedience to the one true God. We read that in John 1. He says, we're not born of men or of blood or of flesh, but of the Spirit of God. Like Jesus says, you're reborn again in your soul. That's what makes you a child of God and pleasing to God, not your race. So we have to just be careful. You can't paint every race evil, or you can't paint every race good like they're doing with the Jews today. They're painting every Jew good, and some people will paint every African evil, because you can't do that. And you're doing that, you're prejudiced. That's the sin of racism. And then worse than that, if you go and you start hating that person, because you're not even supposed to hate any person, let alone a whole race, and you start saying stuff like the Jews and the Talmud. The Talmud of Jews are the worst races, equal to the worst races on the other side of these Christian identity people that believe black people have no souls. That's evil. That's heresy. That's diabolical. They have souls that need to be saved. And you're supposed to love them just as you love anybody else and try to convert them. And they're saying they don't have, because they're black people, they got no souls. Talmud of Jews believe that all Gentiles, everybody outside of the Israelite races, are animals with no souls. That's what the Talmud teaches. You're just like a horse to them, or an educated horse. That if you're a good one, they'll use you to do the work, and that's about it. Okay, so we're getting into the idea of several aspects of here. How races are started, the fact that God does curse certain races down generations, not because everybody in that race is evil, but the progenitor, the originator of that race was greatly disobedient to God. I'm not going to get into the deeper aspects of predestination right now, but I'll touch upon it briefly, about how God knows which souls are going to be created before they're even created, and he has the ability to put them in the womb and to any mothers he wants. So let's say God particularly sees that this one person was really rebellious, and he's the Moabite race, and he says, for 7 generations, I'm going to curse them, they're going to be evil. He's going to take 7 generations of evil souls that he knows in his predestined mind that are evil, and he'll put them in the Moabite race, so they're going to be worthy of the curse that God gave to the originator of that race. But he always then throws in some good souls to show you that you can still overcome it. To show you that it's not, or you would tend to believe that it's just strictly a racial thing that you cannot overcome. Even those that God said, you're cursed for 7 generations, he meant as far as a lot of calamities, you're gonna have a lot of things working behind you. And who could deny that today? If you were born in a pagan, this world, if you're born in a pagan family, you're working behind the eight ball, as they say. Or you got a lot to overcome. You already got all these pagans that are teaching you, but that doesn't mean you still can't be saved. God can even pull you out of a cesspool and say, he's done it to all of us right here. So I'm just trying to get people out there. By the way, too, which this is a little known fact, unless people read the scriptures attentively and read them as we do, you would also begin to realize that from Abraham also had another wife called Ceturah. And we read about this in Genesis 25:1-2. And it says, in Abraham, this was after Ishmael and Jacob was already born, or Isaac, right?
Isaac.
Yeah. This was after Ishmael and Isaac were born, and they were there. I don't know exactly what year, but I think it was anyway. It says, and Abraham married another wife named Ceturah, who bore him Zamram and Jeshcon and Madon and Madian and Jozbach and Sue. Now, these are all other races that were formed. Madian. These are the Madianites. And does anybody recall anything about the Madianites? Moses' father-in-law was a Madianite. So the Madianites were Semites. And they traced themselves back to Abraham also. But to his wife Ceturah. So they're Semites also. But through Ceturah. But they're not Israelites. You see? And that's where the Madianites come from. All right, so all races, you will find out, trace themselves back to an individual person who's done something extraordinary, either evil or either good, or something in which God saw fit that a race should then spring from these people. But technically speaking, you can say everybody belongs to several different races. You could have said the Jew himself says, I'm an Abrahamite, I'm a Semite, I'm a Noahite, I'm a Sethite, I'm an Adamite. You know, so you have several different degrees of races. So all of us, today, when we go back and you see it, we do all get traced back to the same common lineage in the Old Testament era. Now, the only race that God ever really did choose for his own portion was the Israelite race. So if anybody's going to say any race deserves to be considered blessed above all, it has to be the Jewish or Israelite race. But that still don't mean nothing. What does it mean? In the end, even most of them go to hell. Almost every one of them are in hell, too. Which proves you got to obey God. And God needed to choose a race anyway to set them aside so he can show his power through them to show all the pagans what you need to do to worship the true God. So he chose Abraham because Abraham was the most faithful man on earth who was born in sin. Who was born in sin, I believe. You know, Mary wasn't born in sin, so she's the greatest creature of all. But Abraham, who was born in sin, was the most faithful man. And that's why he's called our father. You know, you are the sons of Abraham if you have the faith of Christ Jesus and all that. So that's what earned him that the protection of the Israelite race. But even the Israelite race, as I said, is out of the 12 sons of Jacob, 10 of them were nasty against Joseph. They repented before they died, but they rebelled against Joseph. So this main part of the sermon I want to give here today, and I'm going to, is that we're not supposed to hate any one person, let alone an entire race. And if we start getting people in here, we do have people right now here of all different races right in here, our little group. And then I don't want, if anybody's going to start looking at people simply because of their race and start denigrating them, you get people like that. They'll see a TV show that these white people, there's an African person on it, they don't want to watch it. They'll turn the show off. That's evil. You're in mortal sin. If you're seeing that in your heart, you better get rid of it. God sees that in your heart. He goes, how dare you? One last thing I want to talk about on races. One reason that you can tell that these Talmudic Jews are all messed up is because they trace race through the matriarchal line. They say that you are who your mother is and not who your father is. That is contrary to the Old Testament that they claim to believe in. It's contrary, I think, to all the histories of even the pagan nations that trace it through the patriarchal line. Everything I just read to you here from Matthew, when they're tracing Jesus, is like goes through the father. Which brings me to the point, this is a perversion of Talmudic Judaism. And it has something to do with putting Eve on a pedestal. The harlot was promised power in these final days. Because Eve was promised power. And Satan's given her power like she's never had before in these final days. Just look at the TV and where you go up. Women are running everything today. They're working everywhere. They're managers. They're in the military, which is an abomination as far as in fighting positions. They're in sports they don't belong in. They're on networks. They're running everything. It's Isaiah chapter 3. God said it's a curse from you. Women shall rule you. The harlot shall rule you. And something with this Talmud of Judaism too, with the matriarchal line, has to do with that. You don't. God traces races through your father, your biological father. You are what your biological father is. That's the way God sees you. So a lot of people tend to say if their mother was English, their father was German, they'll say, I'm half German, half English. No, you're not. In God's eyes, you're German. You have the traits, maybe, of an English, the traits that your mother will give you of an English woman, but in God's eyes, every person can only be one thing. You cannot be a mixture. You cannot be. Take Joseph, for instance, when he went into Egypt and he married Asenet, the Egyptian woman from the tribe of Ham, who were dark-skinned. And he had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Someone could have been black, dark-skinned. They're Jews. They're not Egyptians. Because Joseph was the father and he's a Jew. And they were made the two half-tribes of Israel. So according to the Jews, if you're tracing matriarchal line, guess what? You already messed up your line from Manasseh and Ephraim because they're really Egyptians. They're not Jews. So the matriarchal line is totally contrary. Where they pulled this one out of the hat, I don't know. And I still suspect it has something to do with the power that was promised to Eve. You know, we're going to go through the matriarchal line now instead of the patriarchal line. But that means everybody could always, it's always what your father is and always what his father was and what his father was and what his father was. So you're really only one thing, racially. Although you can have the traces, that's why you have black Jews today in Ethiopia. They actually are racially Jews, but they're black. If a Jewish man marries an African woman and they have a child that comes out black, that child is a Jew. In God's eyes. You even see that happen in Israel now. You want to prove racism? These bastard Talmudists. You've got black Jews that are racially Jew over in Israel now, and they treat them inferior. They lock them up in little camps and treat them very disgracefully. And they're Jews, really racially Jews, and they even have their faith. They profess Talmudic Judaism, but because of their color, they treat them lousy. You see? It's racism. But they're really shooting themselves in their own foot, too, because they're really Jews. You just don't like the appearance of that person because he has a different color skin. You know, it's the same thing when people look at ugly people, even, and they mock ugly people because they say, "Look how ugly you are. I'm pretty." This whole vanity thing where people judge people if they're pretty or ugly. So that's the last thing I wanted to talk about for now, is the idea that everybody, you are with your father and his father and his father's. If your father said, "Well, I'm half German," no, Dad, who was your father and who was your father? I don't care what your mother was, and I don't care what your grandmother was, and I don't care what your great-grandmother was, and I don't care what your great-great-grandmother was. All I care about was what was your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, and that's how you're going to trace all your race, your individual races back that way. But you're only one thing, and that's what you are racially. But that and a dime will get you a cup of coffee if you don't have the faith. As St. Paul says, don't let all this talk about genealogy try to be used to pump you up and make you seem that you're so great. I'm just teaching you truth of races, how they're formed. You need to know that historically. I'm teaching you against the mortal sin of racism, and I'm teaching you what Jesus and St. Paul said. There's no more Jew nor Gentile. You're all one in Christ Jesus. That's the thing that matters. That's all that counts. That's what's going to save you. Jesus said it. St. Paul said it in Romans 9:8. He says, not the children of the flesh are accounted for to see, but the children of the promise. And then and that's in Romans 9:8. He says, not just because you're racially a Jew is going to save you, but because you have the faith. St. John the Baptist says, you think you're a big deal. Jesus can turn that rock into a Jew racially. Racially, race ain't going to save you. He says in Galatians 3:26, all who have faith in Christ Jesus are children of God. All who have faith in Christ Jesus are children of God, are the children of God. Anyone else is not. So again, I'm going to end it on that part. Next week, we're going to get on to the part of intellectual evolutionists equate knowledge with intellectual capacity. I'm going to be reading from that next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.